3 years ago, if you would have told me testimonials would be a regular part of our worship, I wouldn't have believed it. That word isn't even part of our Presbyterian lexicon. We're the folks who'd rather see a sermon than hear one. Trust me, I know, I find that out every week. We love to quote St. Francis, preach the gospel, use words if necessary. Now, those are great things, but we also need to know how to share our faith. I can't tell you how many mission trips I've led over the years where we might go to a food bank or a shelter to serve. Almost every time, our people were relieved to hear the person charged with giving us instruction say something to the effect, just give them a bowl of soup. Just give them a bag of food. Just give them a cup of cold water. We do deeds here. We don't preach. Did they really think we were going to proselytize? We're Presbyterian. The hungry and homeless have nothing to fear from us. But here we are. Last Pentecost, we started including testimonials in our worship on festival Sundays. The past year, we've heard about 6 or 8. If you count the videos, even more. No one has ever declined my invitation to testify. Every testimonial has been meaningful and inspirational. I haven't heard one complaint. I find this amazing and wonderful and a good sign of our congregation's spiritual maturity and growth. To be able to speak openly and freely about our faith in Jesus Christ, to know what we believe and to be able to share our beliefs articulately and with conviction is probably more important today than it has been in most of our lifetimes. God is doing a new thing, and it's good for us to be prepared. Most of us are old enough to remember the time when going to church was an expected social convention. We remember the ways in which our families, our schools, our communities, and our churches were stronger because people did go to church. Yes, for some, going to church was like taking cod liver oil. But even they knew it was good for them. Those days are gone. And efforts to bring people back because they should go to church won't work. Life is short. People want to do the things they love. Eric Parker, High Church Lutheran pastor and blogger, speaks to this well in his recent blog, Why Nothing Seems to Get People Back to Church, the issue at the core of decline. He writes, when you love soccer, finding a team to play on is also finding a community with a shared passion. When you love brunch, finding a brunch club means joining a community that shares your love of brunch. When you love lazy Sunday mornings with family, you have a community that also loves sleeping in. But what is our shared love at church? Are we just communities to join without a shared passion? Acknowledging the change from an establishment church to a passionate church will not be easy. Reverend Parker ends his blog with the charge, despite the social commitment at the core of our churches, I think that many churches and church members do want to follow Jesus too. And it isn't that a church has to choose between being a community or following Jesus. One doesn't exclude the other. But churches do have to choose what is at their core. Churches need to choose the foundation that gathers their community. Is it a social commitment to church, or Are we followers of Jesus, whose shared passion brings us together? A year or so ago, we made that choice. After an extensive strategic planning process, which included input from most of you, we chose to be a church that loves as Christ loves. Over the past few months, we've seen some wonderful growth in our commitment to Jesus Christ. Wednesday night, we had 100 people out for our family mission night. We had our Animate Faith class that's been going strong all year. Melissa has another great new member class coming up. We're having a dinner in a couple weeks to celebrate your generosity and the growth it has brought to our life together. My friends, I think what we're seeing is people do want to love and serve Jesus Christ. And people want to be a part of a church willing to share their passion for Christ publicly. Most of all, I think we are seeing we can be that church. Pentecost is a time when the church is empowered to break free and dream. A time to see the world as God intends it to be. Pentecost is a time when the Spirit of God anoints the church and empowers women and men, young and old, to proclaim the good news of salvation that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord may be saved. In the weeks following Easter, the disciples gathered together from time to time. They worshiped. They shared moments with their risen Lord. In good Presbyterian fashion, they appointed a committee and appointed a successor to Judas. It's in the Bible. But they did nothing publicly. No healings, no teaching or preaching. Jesus was gone. Their purpose and their future was uncertain. Then, as they gathered to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, the Spirit of God descended on them like never before. A sound like the rush of a violent wind filled the house. Tongues of fire appeared and rested upon each of them. They began to speak in languages not their own, some of which hadn't been spoken for hundreds of years. Yet those who witnessed the event understood every word. Some didn't know what to make of it. What does this mean? Are the disciples drunk? All were amazed and perplexed at this display of God's power. At that moment, Peter, the one shamed by a maid in the garden but a few weeks before, Peter breaks form and stands to preach, beginning his sermon with a quote from the prophet Joel. Having heard the heavenly sound like the rush of a violent wind, having seen the tongues of fire, having witnessed the ecstatic speech, Peter believed Joel's prophecy that God would pour out God's Spirit had been fulfilled. In the last day, God declares, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. In those days I will pour out my Spirit, and I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For Joel, the outpouring of God's Spirit warns of disaster. But for Peter, these wonders have been claimed by Christ. They foretell God's new creation. Pentecost is God's public declaration that God is making all things new. Pentecost is God's public declaration of new life. Today we celebrate Pentecost, a day when the power of God to bring salvation to the world is displayed publicly like never before. A day when Jesus' discouraged and disillusioned disciples are inspired to claim the ministry of Jesus Christ as their very own. A day when women and men, young and old, are empowered to proclaim the gospel and love as Christ loves. Today we celebrate Pentecost, a day to dream. Not only that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, but that we can share in God's saving work. Friends, on this Pentecost, know that God's Spirit is alive and well, empowering ordinary Christians to live publicly this extraordinary life of Jesus Christ. Monday evening, I was flipping through the channels and heard Shane Claiborne, a red letter Christian in North Philly, speak about their ministry of turning weapons into garden tools. Interestingly enough, the next night, our Animate Faith class showed a video featuring Shane and some of his thoughts on living simply and generously. Like the prophets of old, Shane invites people to dream of the world as it can be and not just accept the world as it is. Even more, Shane is living his life in such a way he's sharing in God's work to bring this prophetic world to life, a world of peace and justice, compassion and simplicity. Fulfilled with the Spirit and taking Christ at His word, red letter Christians like Shane believe the words of Jesus Christ are authoritative and compel us to believe all people were made in the likeness and image of God. Red letter Christians believe Jesus is the lens through which we understand the Bible and through which we understand the world in which we live. Red letter Christians believe doing Jesus' work leads to personal growth and greater understanding. Freedom comes through serving others, not through power, politics, or materialism. Diversity and collaboration make us stronger, not weaker. Wherever your power and influence might lie, it's magnified when shared and held by those who are poor, oppressed, and looked over by society. Red letter Christians believe questioning cultural norms is healthy and can lead to wholeness. They respect and fight for the well-being of all people as children of God, especially those with whom we differ. Red letter Christians embrace and work alongside people of different faiths, erasing the lines of us versus them. Beloved, in this new world, this world of which we dream, it doesn't begin with nations and their governments. This world begins with a people claimed by Christ and transformed by God's Holy Spirit. This world begins with young and old, women and men, you and I, dreaming dreams of a better world and living that world into reality. This world begins when this very public proclamation of God's power at Pentecost becomes personal for each and every one of us. Thanks be to God.